I'm looking at Maslow's hierarchy of needs here in front of me. I've got it pulled up on a website. And if you guys are not familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, check it out. You should definitely look it up online. But basically, it's a pyramid that walks through, according to this Maslow dude from way back when, what the important things us as human beings have to have in order to really feel, get our basic needs met, our psychological needs met, and then self-fulfillment. And it starts at the bottom of the pyramid, where at the very base level, we've got to take care of our base needs, you know, safety and security needs, our physiological needs, food, warmth, water, rest. And I think we all take those for granted here in America for sure. But we all take those for granted when there's a lot of people all over the world who don't even have those basic needs taken care of. Okay. And then we go up further on there, and there's the psychological needs, your self-esteem, prestige, feeling of accomplishment, belongingness and love needs, intimate relationships, friends. I think a lot of you listening to this episode of the Caracast are really yearning for more of those things, more prestige, more feeling of accomplishment, building tighter relationships with family and friends, really feeling loved and being and loving. And that's something I think we all want to do more, right? Then you go up to the top, and that's the self-fulfillment needs, self-actualization, he calls it, achieving one's full potential, including creative activities. And I'm excited about having my guest on this episode of the Caracast, Ryan Fletcher, who I've known for going on 6-7 years now. And we resonate with each other multiple different ways. We tell you about how we met, what our stories are, why he's coming on this episode of the Caracast, what he's been immensely successful in. But in a huge part of this podcast, we talk about the self-actualization part in a big way. You know, we talk about how can you grow your business in a big way as a real estate agent or even an investor. How do you grow your business in a way that makes it so you are the viable option? You're the only viable option in that marketplace, but it doesn't require you having to go out there and door knock and cold call and do all those things that usually that especially newer agents are taught. Okay. And he's got this thing called the Impact Club that it's kind of in beta right now that he's already raised. He's already locked in, $180,000 in donations to local charities. And we talk about story a lot. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, we focus on the parts of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs that are selfish to us, right? I need to feel prestige. I need to feel a sense of accomplishment, which we all want those things. But I think oftentimes we chase them in the wrong way. And on this podcast, hopefully we can change your mind on the way to run your business moving forward. Hopefully we can give you some ideas on how you can start to tell better story in your market to cut through the clutter. There's a lot of clutter in the market right now. There's tons of clutter, lots of agents in the market, lots of investors in the market. How do you cut through that clutter? It's not by making a better Google AdWords ad. Okay, it's not by making a better direct mail piece. Those things can help. But once someone finds out about you, how is it that you cut through that clutter? How is it that you build so much credibility and so much force behind that story that you're the person that they want to work with out of the dozens of people that they looked at? Or let me jump even further ahead. How do you make it so before they ever even reach out to anyone, before they ever do a Google search for it, they automatically know that you are the one that they should go to because of the things that you've done in the community based off of what we're going to talk about in this podcast. Okay. So there's going to be two types of people on this call. One person is going to hit square between the eyes and you're going to go, man, I so resonate with what was talked about on that call. I'm going to do that. I know it's going to be hard work. I know it's a long-term play, but I know that in 2, 3, 4 years, even a year, when I implement the things that Ryan talks about on this call, I'm going to be completely not having to worry about where my leads come from anymore. I'm going to be completely not having to worry about competing for business because no one's going to be able to compete with me because I'm going to be doing what they talked about. Okay. The other segment of those people are the people going to look at it and go, man, that all sounds great, but give me another Google AdWords ad. That's going to solve my problems. Okay. And you're going to bounce away from this thinking, man, that's too much work. I want results now. I don't want to have to wait for them. And if that's you, awesome. Go do that. But I can tell you from personal experience, we talk about this more. If you're in it for the long game, those are the people that win. And we talk about how to win over the long game with story, with making an impact, and really building an amazing business. So welcome on in, Ryan Fletcher. Hey everyone, Trevor here with Carrot, coming at you with another episode of the Caracast. And we're nearing 40 episodes now. And it's funny, my guest today, was one of my inspirations for starting the Carrot Cast, because you're going to learn a lot about Ryan, my buddy Ryan Fletcher, today. But he started a podcast that's really taken off in the real estate market in a big way the last couple of years. We'll kind of dig into why and kind of the message that the market is really, really absorbing and taking to heart. But on this podcast, it's not going to be just talking about marketing, for real estate agents or investors. It's really going to be talking about marketing more effectively, cutting through clutter, but also building like massive purpose and mission into your business. And if you guys are watching the video version of this episode of the Carrot Cast, you see Ryan's smiling face there with his hat, and it says Impact Club on it. So we're going to be talking about the Impact Club today. But Ryan, welcome on the Carrot Cast, man. Great to finally get you on here, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Dude, so how many episodes of your podcast are you in right now?
Over 100. I think we actually have 96 primary episodes, and My podcast is a little different than most. I don't interview a lot of people. Mostly it's just me, more Rush Limbaugh style, direct to microphone. Mm-hmm. And then I think we have 5 or 6 interviews. And so the 96 plus the 5 puts us around 101, give or take.
I love it. And you guys can look it up. We'll put it in the show notes as well at carrotcast.com. But look it up. It's the Agent Marketing Syndicate podcast. And just look up Ryan Fletcher. And if you guys can't spell Fletcher, just Google it. I'm sure you guys will find it. But so Ryan, give me you guys some quick context here for why I wanted Ryan to come on this podcast. So him and I first met, probably 5-6 years ago. I don't remember exactly when it was, but a mutual friend of ours, Chris Bresson, who actually just had a chance to hang out with in San Francisco a couple weeks ago, introduced us. And I think one of the cool things, Ryan, was you and I, it seemed like we had a lot in common, like same age. We've been married to our wives about the same amount of time. We have same age kids pretty much. And I'm like, man, this dude loves marketing, and he's a no BS kind of guy. And I think that was one of the reasons we initially hit it off. And then you moved back out here to Washington. But kind of, dude, give us a quick brief overview of where you came from. Like, how did you get into real estate? How did you get into marketing? How did you come back to the real estate side over the past decade?
Yeah, so I'll give you sort of the thumbnail sketch. And it pretty much started, like most entrepreneurs, in failure, right? Mm-hmm. And so I never really wanted to grow my own company, build a business, get into real estate. Actually wanted to go to medical school. So go down that path, 4.0, go to Africa on medical mission, come back, apply to medical school 47 times over 4 years, rejected, rejected, rejected. And, you finally get sick of everybody asking, like, hey, is this going to be the year? Hey, is this going to be the year? Hey, is this going to be the year? I always joke, it's like, asking somebody who's trying to have kids, like, hey, any luck? Hey, any luck? And every time you bring it up, it's like this fucking depressing moment. Yeah. And so I finally decided, you know what? I'm going to do something else. Maybe medicine isn't in the cards for me. And that's when I got into real estate. And I just happened to call my grandpa one day, and he says, you got to call Bob Deal. And about 15 minutes before that, I'd actually called Bob Deal, like a stroke of luck. So I went and got down my real estate license. And my first year, I sold 2 homes, made about $8,000. Yeah, exactly, right? But you got to remember, like, I was a pre-med student. I'd never taken a business or marketing class in my life. I had no idea how to get clients. Yep. And so now I get into real estate, carry that over. We're getting close to, December, holiday time. I have no money. Mm-hmm. So I ended up taking a part-time position as a UPS box boy, $12 an hour. And I thought for the first week, this is heaven. You know, like, you jump the package, you run to the door, you sign, and at the end of the week, you get paid, mm-hmm. which was a big change, from real estate. By luck, I went to a Barnes & Noble, and I was going to buy my sister a book. I just happened to stumble upon Dan Kennedy's The Ultimate Sales Letter, and that was my first introduction to copywriting. And keep in mind, I hated the door knocks. I hated the sales calls. I hated the – and so when he said you can put words on paper and get clients, I go, what the hell? What do I got to lose, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what sent me down that rabbit hole of copywriting, and went from 2 homes making $8,000. The next year I made $182,000, and it was really the back of putting words on paper. Then about, 2 years after that, or a year after that, I decided I really like this copywriting thing, not so big on this whole real estate thing. Mm-hmm. Not that I hated the industry. It just wanted something more in terms of mentally challenging opposed to just process driven. And so I applied for a position within Agora, And a lot of people might be familiar with it, but maybe not if they're not in the marketing or copywriting world. And it's the largest independent financial publisher of financial newsletters. And so I moved down to Delray Beach, Florida. That's, of course, where I met Chris. Mm-hmm. And like a stroke of luck, we were sitting at the same Starbucks. He's like, hey. And next thing you know, like 6 hours passed and we ended up at the bar and we're good buddies ever since.
Yeah.
But I went down there and started working for this division. At the time, their biggest sales letter was about $1 million. They're about a $10 million per year division. I wrote this sales letter. Everybody thought it was going to fail. I wasn't very confident that I was going to succeed either, but that's why we test, and it's called direct response for a reason. Yeah. And long story short, over the next 6 months, it did over $15 million in sales, wrote back-to-back ones, and within 18 months, you know, took that division from $10 million to $30 million just on the back of copy. And so had the first kid on the way, decided I was going to move back to, Portland area, Vancouver, Washington, need babysitters. And that's when you and I first sort of connected.
Yeah.
But that's the thumbnail sketch of my journey over, say, the past decade.
Dude, I love it, man. And that's kind of, I want to kind of zero in on your phase, you know, when you came across Dan Kennedy's book, first of all. Ultimate Sales, is Ultimate Sales Letters, or it's Ultimate Sales Machine or whatever? Ultimate Sales Machine is Chet Holmes, right?
I believe so. The Ultimate Sales Letter is Dan Kennedy.
Okay, cool. So this is one thing I want people to really, really grasp, because oftentimes people who will look at what we're doing at Carrot and as an example, the websites that we have or whatever, we use a lot of copy, and a lot of people will go, man, what are you doing using all this copy? You know, there's a lot of words there. No one's ever going to get through that. Did you ever, as you're going through Dan Kennedy's book, and then, like you said, writing those first letters for real estate, and then writing those first letters for Agora, did you ever have to get over something where, like, okay, I know this is a lot of words, but this is why this performs, and why does direct response copy, usually longer form stuff, perform really well?
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many times people have told me, nobody's going to read all that. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to read all that. And then they ask, well, who's going to read all that? I go, the people who buy.
Yep.
That's all that matters, is the people who buy, because they will sit down and they will consume a 42-page sales letter as long as it's not boring, as long as there's pain. And of course, you convey that you have a solution in an authentic way that builds trust and authority and authenticity so that they can actually connect with you. But yeah, I think everybody, they get into it and they go, what the hell am I doing writing a 12-page sales letter? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to write more emails, blog posts, put it in audio format, do CDs, follow-up pieces.
And dude, that's the thing. I think if people can kind of grasp this right here, that like Ryan said, it's not about what you think is going to work because of whether you or your friend is going to read it. That's one of the biggest mistakes I've made, is you'll send your marketing to your friend or something like that. Hey, what do you think about this? And they're like, oh, well, what about this or this, or that looks way too long, I'm not going to read it. And then after a while, I realize it doesn't matter what they think, because they're not my prospect. They don't have the pain. They don't have the fears, the frustrations that this copy is speaking to. And if you actually do have that, or you have this desire that the copy is speaking to, and the copy drags you down into the copy and further sells you, like you said, you're going to read all that you can. I was going through it was a webinar sequence about a year ago, and I was just in this mind frame where, like, I had something I needed to learn. I was in this very specific space in my business, and I found this guy. This guy hit me up with a Facebook ad, and he's highly successful. His name is Mitchell Harper, founder of BigCommerce, $100 million a year company. Mm. And dude, his ads were great. And then I listened to his webinar, listened to the whole thing. I bounced over his website, read every article I could find on his website, watched some of his videos, watched another webinar. And then I ended up putting in my information on his coaching deal and getting an hour phone call with him. And, even though I never ended up joining the coaching program, that was like perfect example for me that really drilled into me. It's like, man, once again, people who resonate with the message that you've got are going to absorb every bit that they can. I think that's one of the reasons your podcast is so successful, because and we're going to be diving into that here in a second, but you are so specifically focusing in on a type of a person. You've got a very clear avatar, and they listen to your stuff, man. And it's like, I believe what this guy believes in, and I'm going to listen to every episode of his stuff that I can. Let's make the transition now. So you move back out to Oregon, and I know you're heavy into helping real estate agents grow their businesses, but not in a traditional way. Dude, what do you do now, both with the Impact Club, but also with Agent Marketing Syndicate, to help agents cut through that clutter?
Yeah, it's been definitely an evolution and a journey. When I first started the company back in 2010 and really through 2013, I tried to push upon real estate agents direct response marketing and doing it heavy. And I created this concept called a niche-only program. You know, you've heard the saying, yep, niches or riches and niches. And so there was a police-only program, nurse-only program, teacher-only program, et cetera. And these do work. Here's the challenge. You have to have some capital in order to send the direct mail pieces. Mm-hmm. And the life cycle, or should I say sales cycle in real estate, it could be 6 months. It could be 12 months. And so if you're mailing on a monthly basis, you might be out $1,000, out $1,000, out $1,000, out $1,000. On top of that, if you think about the typical real estate agent, quote unquote, prospect, mm-hmm, right? If there's a 12-month sales cycle from the time they go, you know what, I'm kind of curious about that, to the time they actually pull the trigger, that's not good for direct response.
Yep.
Because direct response, you need pain. And so what ends up happening if you break it down, you send 100 postcards, for example, to a teacher. They, okay, keep in mind, if you say the average homeowner moves every 7 years, that means about 14 people out of that 100 is even considering a move this year. Mm-hmm. So now you really have dwindled your 100 down to 14.
Yep.
And then you say, well, in the next 6 months, probably only 7 of those might be interested. And so now you've dwindled your 14 down to 7. And now you go, well, in the next 3 months, probably only half of those are going to be interested. Mm-hmm. So you've dwindled your 100 down to like 3.5.
Yep.
And that is only if everything goes right, meaning they go out to the mailbox, they're in the right frame of mind, they find your postcard, you hit some sort of pain point, which there isn't a lot in real estate, which I'll talk about in a minute. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately they'll go to your website, they request it, you have follow-up material, and maybe you close them into a transaction, you know, 6-12 months down the line. All of that is a very hard sell to get a real estate agent to do. And I beat the drum, I beat the drum, I beat the drum, I beat the drum. And finally, about 3 years in, I go, fuck that. I'm changing what I teach people.
Yep.
And it's not about, hey, generate the lead and get the contact information. You need to be and have the relationship 3-5 years before they ever need a real estate agent.
Yep.
And you should never even treat the people in your database as prospective clients. Look at them as distribution channels. Hmm. If you have a relationship with 100 people, guess what? You build the relationship with those folks. Don't even look at them as clients, because if you look at them as clients, you'll be bugging them.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be calling them. You'll be following up with them in a way that says you're a sales prospect.
Yep.
So instead, just bring them into your life, share your story, build a relationship with these 100. And so now these 100 will go out to their spheres of influence and, of course, refer back to you. And so that was a huge shift, going away from direct response marketing, going into content-based marketing, telling stories, what we call a sitcom-based newsletter, to really build a relationship with your immediate 100 people. And too many times to count now, we've seen somebody go from, you know, 100,000 to 300,000 to 600,000 because they stop selling and they start connecting.
Dude, so I want to dive deep into this, because if people were to kind of reverse and unpack what we've done with Carrot here over the past, you know, 3 years, and for those of you who dive in with Ryan and listen to his podcast and kind of get in that ecosystem, or who have been following him, you've been seeing that this has also been a slow burn ever since you made that transition to where you started building amazing content, amazing relationships, putting out a message that, hey, I believe in what you believe in, kind of thing. And now, you know, just, I don't know how many years later, it's just really starting to gain this massive momentum for you. And we're seeing the same thing with Carrot. And it's such a big deal, guys and gals, making that mental mindset shift, like Ryan said, from I've got to get mine now, to let me build value with people, to build momentum, so it's this unstoppable machine in a year, 2, 3, 4 years. And I think too many people are in this really short-term mindset where they're like, I've got to have it all happen right now, which if it does happen, sweet. If you have a direct mail campaign, let's say as a real estate investor, because there is some motivation and pain points for someone who, let's say they have a house in probate and they need to sell it fast and they don't want to go through an agent, there are,
sure,
some things there. So if your direct mail is working, if your pay-per-click with Carrot's working, if all that stuff is working, amazing. Double down on it. But you're not going to build a crazy sustainable business that doesn't have booms and busts unless you build a momentum machine with relationship. And dude, so you mentioned the newsletter that you and your clients sent out. Unpack that a little bit. So what are you guys doing with your clients and what is seeing that success in those markets to help them crack through the clutter? Because there's a bajillion real estate agents right now. How are they cracking
right
through?
Yeah, I mean, if you really think about what a relationship is, it's just a series of connections. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, like, our connection was Chris Brisson, right? But then, like, our connection, you mentioned in the beginning, we are both about the same age. And then it's like, we both were married to the same people for about the same time. Then we have the same age kids, and then we're both interested in marketing.
Yep.
All of these are a series of connection points. And the more of those connection points you have, the stronger the relationship you will be. And so the sitcom-based newsletter, think about, you watch Big Bang Theory, the pilot episode, go back to, you know, year one, episode one, pilot. Nobody knows who these characters are. Mm-hmm. How much are you invested?
Not at all.
None, right? And no. If you put out shitty content, and this is, of course, what real estate agents are taught, put out one-size-fits-all content, yep. Like how to clean out your gutters and like how to, you know, ice-proof your walks and, you know, de-moss your, you know, et cetera. Who cares about any of that, right?
Yep.
Nobody. And so now you create a sitcom-based newsletter, meaning there's a character, and that character is put into a variety of different situations, undergoes a variety of experiences, and now has to make tough decisions about A, B, C, D, E, and F. Hmm. Well, sitcom episode number one, they don't know anything about you. But now you hook them if you're good at telling stories, and next thing you know, you put episode one, two, three, four, five. Before you know it, it's like the first thing that they grab in the mailbox. Mm-hmm. But it's building these relationships, and they're falling in love with the character. Mm-hmm. And now that character is driving referrals.
Dude, so people can kind of make a connection in their mind what this is. So is the character a home seller, as an example, or a home buyer, whatever you're kind of going after? Or is it just, I guess, is the character walking through a similar story that they're going through that's related to their home? Or is it completely separate?
It's completely separate because ultimately people don't give a shit about real estate. Mm-hmm. That's the number one thing that people need to take away. Just because you're a real estate agent, people don't give a shit about your job, career, profession.
Yep.
But they do care about what you did Saturday night and have an entertaining story. Mm-hmm. That's what people don't understand. They all want to talk about real estate. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the reality. If you don't need a computer, how much do you want to know about a computer? Zero.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if I just bought a pair of skis, I don't need to go look and shop for skis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I go out to my mailbox right now, I probably will see 17 ads for computers, but they will all be blinded to me. I won't even pay attention to them. But then when I need a computer, next thing you know, guess what? I will notice all the ads for the computers. And it's like somebody read my mind. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it's just like that little reticular activator in your brain that says, like, hey, this is important to you now. Pay attention to it.
Yep.
So if you just talk about things that aren't real estate related, build that relationship, and you just make a tiny little mention every once in a while here and there in the context of your story about real estate, to 99% of the people who are on your list, they won't hear, he's a real estate agent, he's a real estate agent, he's a real estate agent, he was a real estate agent. But to the 1% out of the 100 that is in the market to make a real estate transaction, they're like, oh, shit, he's in real estate. Mm-hmm. And I've been getting his newsletter. I fall in love with his character because I know I can trust him. He's moral. He's got ethics. He doesn't, you know, beg, borrow, and steal like the stereotype tells you he does. And so now they want to be a part and use you for your services. But that's the number one key, is that you can't talk about real estate because people don't give a shit about it.
Mm-hmm. Dude, so this is fascinating stuff. And with kind of, I'm just kind of reversing back and like kind of running this through my own brain and what we've done with Carrot One Team, because that's my personal experience on what we've done. And we were definitely in it for the long game, you know, for sure. The first year and a half of the business, we weren't growing crazy fast, but then the last year and a half, we've got a lot of momentum. And we're growing really fast. But if you start to look back, it's like, you know, why did that happen? Well, we created a storyline way back when that we're in people's list. At least for us, it's email inboxes right now. People know what we're doing. People care about the causes that we care about. We're not shy about, you know, using our core values baked in there. But a lot of the times we're not really talking about, like, dude, on these Carrot Casts, I would rather not talk about real estate in the Carrot Cast, because I want to talk about marketing stuff. I'd rather talk about life stuff, just stuff that, like, to help us be successful human beings. And I think that's one of the reasons a lot of our listeners resonate with it, is because, like you said, that we're not hammering them over the head with conversion optimization and SEO and whatever. There's some stuff on that. And if they're ready to hear it, then they can go find an episode on that. But most of them keep on staying, and we get the most comments from people saying, hey, that episode that had nothing to do with real estate, I loved it. And that was the best. And you're delivering this by direct mail. Are you guys doing anything with email? Are you doubling up on email, or is it all to a blanket list that you or I said not a blanket list, a targeted list that you grab? Are you buying lists? Is it lead generation from actual marketing? You're driving people in that's building your list, and then you're sending it to them. Kind of what's the method on getting this message out to them?
Yeah. And so are we talking about my business from Agent Marketing Syndicate side or from the real estate agent side and how we help them?
Yeah, the real estate agent side. So if they're going to do something like this sitcom-based newsletter, where are they getting that list and how are you guys delivering it? Is it just direct mail or is it also email?
Yeah. Ultimately, I mean, you're going to want to choose multimedia, but the heart and soul, if you think about a pillar piece of content, it is hard copy, newsletter, some are 8 pages, goldenrod paper, folder and a half, mailed monthly.
Yep.
Now, you can repurpose that content in the form of Facebook posts, you know, email, e-newsletters, etc. Some of our people are even creating emails and doing daily publication. Mm-hmm. And so people in real estate, well, what are you talking about? Like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
Well, you can't talk about real estate because we know how long that's going to last and people are going to pay attention, right?
Yeah.
About 3.5 days and everybody unsubscribes. Mm-hmm. But if you talk about your life and you talk about business lessons and you talk about parenting and you talk about being married and all the things that men bitch about, mm-hmm. well, next thing you know, you're having a real conversation.
Yeah.
And I tell people, I think of like my email as basically I walk into the hardware store. If you know you're in a place where there's a hardware store or like you know the bar, and there's a bunch of buddies sitting around, you go, "Hey, John, what's up, man? Hey, did you see the game last night? Oh shit, he hit that three! All right, guys, I gotta run, but make sure to check out." And I leave.
Uh-huh.
That's how I think of my daily email. It's just a, "Hey, come in, high five, shoot the shit for 3 minutes, and then bounce out. Send them to something that they can get value from." But from the real estate agent side, it doesn't change. Mm-hmm. It's identical. It's just whether or not people build up the skill to be actually put out that content on a daily basis with the type of consistency and congruency that they need to build their character.
Mm-hmm. Dude, what do you think the biggest fear or stopping point is from, let's say, a real estate agent using this type of marketing? Because they've been so ingrained with the other type of marketing. Let's cold call people for 6 months. Let's send out the same postcard to everyone in their world. And once again, not saying that that stuff doesn't work. Some of it may definitely work. But to really build this momentum machine, you've got to build a relationship. What do you feel the biggest fear or stopping point that the agents are having?
They don't know how.
Yeah.
Period. They just do not know how. Yeah. In all honesty, and I've seen this too many times to count, people come into real estate, they've been successful in other careers, and then ultimately like the guru party gets a hold of them. That's what I call TGP, the guru party. And these are all the sales trainers and the coaches. And we as human beings, most of us, are not hardwired to be able to put up with rejection over and over and over and over and over again. And so what ends up happening is they hire these coaches for $1,000 or whatever it is, $10,000 a year. They tell them to be successful in real estate. You got a cold call. You got a door knock. You have to A, B, C, D. 1 minute.
Yeah, you're good.
You have to A, B, C, D other things. And so naturally, they can't bring themselves to do it. Mm-hmm. And so now they feel broken. And the TGP comes along and says, "We can fix you." And so now they give them the money and they say, "Here's what you have to do. Here's your accountability coach, 8 to 11. You call leads. You knock on doors. You make your contacts." And they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so that, in essence, breaks them down. They lose self-confidence. They lose self-esteem. Nobody wants to hear from them. And what came in as this person of stunning confidence, having success in another industry, is now a shell of them former self.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now when it comes to actually saying, "Here's what you should do, write stories." They go, "Well, I'm not a writer.
Mm-hmm.
My stories aren't fascinating. My life experiences are mundane, normal, ordinary." And if you think about like the cities that we grow up in, people who grew up in Las Vegas, they don't see anything interesting about Las Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even understand why there's a hotel in Vancouver, Washington. Like, who comes here, right? Why would anybody visit Vancouver, Washington? But then you go travel abroad like Florida or, you know, outside the US, and you might mention, "Oh, I live in Canada or Portland, Oregon." "Oh, I love Portland." I go, "What? Portland sucks."
Yeah.
Like, it's the homeless capital of the world.
Uh-huh.
But everybody, it's that greener pasture thing. They think other people's stories are fascinating, interesting, and they don't have confidence to put their own on paper. But then there's also, if I do put it on paper, people are going to judge me. Mm-hmm. They're going to make, you know, decisions, whether they can trust, whether they can't trust. And if I work my ass off, put all this time into creating this story, and nobody reads it, what good is it? It's a failure. But ultimately, anything that's worth doing is worth sucking at first. I think that was a Gary Halbert thing that he said. And you don't start writing and immediately build an audience. It takes time. And I tell everybody, though, if you won't write for one, you'll never write for 1,000.
Yep. Dude, one thing I've found is as an example with our young entrepreneur group that we have here, man, we're 6 years in now. And the first 2 to 2.5 years was so hard because one month we would get for our pub talks, 1 month we'd literally get 4 people showing up to it. And then the next month we get 20 and then we get like 2. And sometimes I didn't want to go to my own pub talks because I didn't want just like 1 or 2 new people coming and no one else came. And then I had to sit there and explain to them this entrepreneur group that you guys are 2 new people and it's just me and like, hey, I swear it's real. Like there's other people that come, but consistency. And this is one thing that you're really talking to there is consistency is one of the biggest traits that I've found from people who are successful, who can build that momentum in their business and life. Is they have a plan. They know that this can work. They know it's going to be a long game, but they're going to be consistent and they're going to roll it out, whatever that is, each and every month or each and every time or each and every week or whatever that mechanism is. So now we get 40 to 70, sometimes 70 people at our pub talks like clockwork, but it took us a period of time for people to go, man, they're real. They're real. They're not going anywhere. Maybe it took them 5, 6, 7, 8 visits to go, man, yeah, this is pretty darn cool. And they share it with other people. And I can see, the relationship building through a sitcom based newsletter or however people want to do it the same. It's like those first 4, 5, 10, maybe even 20 aren't going to get massive replies possibly. But once you're in it and you've been publishing it very consistently and people are like, this person's not going away, but they're really interesting. Then they're going to be locking you. Their brain is going to be locked onto you, and then they're going to start telling other people about it. And they're going to go, well, shoot, you have an agent, or you need an agent, right? And you're looking at selling your house. Well, you should connect with this guy because he's like awesome person. I don't know him personally, but I feel like I do. You know, consistency is so big. People give up way before they ever should, and I think that's a dominant trait with human beings in general, which is kind of a shame.
Kind of 100%.
So dude, on the Impact Club, so this is really what I'm excited about chatting about for a few minutes here. Cause baked into our business, we've got the passion for making a difference. I mean, our core values, I see one of them, right? I see our sheet right there. You know, deliver wow through great service, be a beacon of positivity and possibility. You know, there's some other ones in there that we really want to amplify the impact that we can make. And oftentimes as business owners, especially people, let's say it's just a solo business, you're one agent or one investor, or maybe you have a small team. A lot of people, kind of myself included, make excuses for why I can't make an impact now. And dude, what are you guys doing with Impact Club? And what is it? And how are you guys leveraging that as a part of this overall relationship and credibility building machine that you guys have your clients using?
Yeah. And so I'll take you back real quick in terms of like what I believe my purpose in life. Mm-hmm. And pretty much if you look at my early work, my middle work, my later work, you could call me and give me a number of different titles, but I would simply give myself one title, which is storyteller. Mm-hmm. That's really all I am when you boil it down, is I've learned to tell stories that bring people to the accepted belief that I need/want them to come to so that I can best serve them. If I can't put them in a frame of mind or create context as to why what I have to say is important, then they won't pay attention, right? And so ultimately my goal is to bring story to more people. And one of the things that fascinated me was this idea of creating movements. And if you really start to study movements, you find that they're actually quite formulaic. And so when people are watching politics and they're seeing Hillary and they're seeing Donald and they're going back and forth, I see it as like the ultimate chess match. It's like Circus du Soleil, mm-hmm. right? It's like, oh shit, he just did the move. And oh, he just flipped, right? And I see it just as message structure.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, everything that I've studied over the last, 5 years that pertains to movements, ultimately what I said is like my purpose in life is to create a movement of movements by helping others to create their own. Hmm. And Impact Club is really the, sort of the birth child of that. Mm-hmm. And there was a number of different stimuli and inputs that led me to it. And it's not the first of its kind, but it's the first time that it's been done the way we're doing it from a national top-down level with centralized fulfillment, messaging, marketing, versus just rink-a-dink, local market, local market, local market, nothing being interconnected. And so now we have found through the testing, we can go into any local market for the most part, and in 28 days, put roughly 150 people in a room, write a check to a local charity for $15,000. But more importantly, it's that little fraternity of those 150 people. And what we say, Impact Club, it's the strongest community in every community. Mm-hmm. And so now people have all their swag on, their shirts, they're posting to Facebook, and pretty much every time that we've launched, the centralized video has gotten over 10,000 views, all organic. Hmm. And so there's no cost, there's no marketing, and it just solves the problem, which is, and you said it, I only have $100. What can little I do to make an impact in my community? Mm-hmm. Well, you as an individual can't do a whole lot. $100 doesn't go very far. Mm-hmm. And if you went down and you donated to a local charity, they'd say thank you. But then, like, you'd never get any update. You would never actually see anything come of that $100. It would just kind of disappear into the ethers,
Yeah. Even
if it did do good for someone. But when you can say, as an impact venture capitalist, kind of like venture capital, Mm-hmm. You bring entrepreneurs, they tell stories. We bring in charities, they tell stories. We then vote on the three presenting with our $100 check, and the majority winner gets that entire amount. So if you take 150 people times 100, that's a $15,000 check that we will then donate to that local charity in that local market on that night. And we're just getting ready to do the second one in Northern VA, and it won't surprise me at all if we double from 150 to close to 300. So instead of writing a $15,000 check, now we're writing a $30,000 check. But that is Impact Club. People's voice is more powerful than their money.
Mm-hmm. Dude, so I'm sitting here like smiling during this because this is like great timing. Last night we had our February pub talk here in Roseburg, and the talk was actually, how do you as a business impact your local community? Like it used that darn word in it. So there was a panel up there where people were talking about all the great things that you can do or that they have done, and just kind of passing along that knowledge. It was all amazing stuff. And the one thing that popped in my brain as that conversation was happening was most of the stuff that they were talking about, which was all such great stuff, was what they did in that one instance. Okay. Which is great. You know, like you said, it was writing the $100 check or donating this to this and whatever, which is all awesome stuff. But the times I've seen the most impact, not to use that word too much, but the most impact is when you really activate more people to support it. And, a good example of this was this last October. We had, 2 Octobers ago, of course, we had the shooting at the Umpqua Community College here. And you killed 9 people, and it was this massive worldwide story. And of course, Roseburg kind of got put on the map worldwide for a negative reason, but the community really came together in a massive way over the last year, to really build a tighter bond with this community. And there was an event that an entrepreneur, he's a mentor of mine. He has an office here out of the loft. His name is Seth, highly successful entrepreneur. We actually did a podcast with him, guys, and goes check it out at carrotcast.com. Seth sold his company. They did $60 million a year in revenue. He just sold it this past February, a year ago. And so then he took it as part of his mission. Let me create this race with this committee. And they created a big race. Thousands of people came down to Roseburg and ran this 9K, raised $60,000-something. And we're looking at it going, well, let's, we're going to write a check to this thing, and then we kind of pulled back and goes, how can we impact this more? Let's activate our user base. Let's activate our customers. And instead of writing a $1,000 check or whatever it was, we ended up pushing $7,500 to this cause just from our one little company. Way more money than any of other company in the entire fundraiser. There was huge companies that were part of it because we activated our customer base. They were activating just themselves or their employee base. And that's kind of what this is, dude, is you guys are activating people in the community who want to be involved in the things that you believe in. And also, this is something we haven't mentioned, but I think it's just inherent. The person that puts that darn thing together ends up building a lot of credibility. Seth has a lot more credibility in this community now because he was a part of putting this event together that raised $60,000. And I'm sure on your guys' end, the agents, kind of what effect or what impact did the agents end up seeing just in their businesses after they put these together?
Yeah, and for the most part, it all comes back down to long game. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for an immediate return, it is not something that you're going to be happy with.
Totally.
But if you're looking at long game and you're looking at legacy, which I think is more important than currency, and I think that's a Vaynerchuk quote, might have come from somewhere else, but it just plays into the storyline. What is the reputation that you want to be known for? Like Robin Hood. Oh, he's the guy who robs, the rich to give to the poor. And it's this thing that gets passed down story after story after story. And it's kind of a joke that I have when I'm talking about reputation. It's like Robin Hood, nobody knew who the hell he was. And then like one night they're at a bar and he's like, oh shit, I'm the guy who robs the rich and gives to the poor. And the next thing you know, his buddy, he's like, oh yeah, that's the guy who robs to the rich to give to the poor. And by like, you know, 16 more times in like, you know, 10 more years, he's got this legend. He's got this reputation. Mm-hmm. And so what ends up happening is you come into this market, you basically, I'll give you an example. Like Temecula, we had like 30,000 views on this video collectively and combined. There's only like 50,000 people in Temecula. Mm-hmm. And at the center on whose Facebook page is taking place on is Josh Painter. Mm-hmm. So now everybody knows who this guy is. He walks into the barbershop and the mayor who owns the barbershop, he goes, oh shit, you're the Impact Club guy. Mm-hmm. He's looking, he's like, me? Like, yeah, we were just talking about you. But that's what ends up happening is that you become known for something and making a difference in people's lives and not just like, hey, there's the guy who wants another lead and who's going to bug the fuck out of you with more phone calls.
Yep.
And so that's really what it is. But ultimately, it's this deep sense of fulfillment and purpose.
Mm-hmm. Man, so one of the funny things with our conversation here is – kind of rolling back to about 10, 15 minutes ago when you mentioned the way that most people go down the path is they go down the path of, let me look for the mechanics that are going to get me the lead. And then let me plug it into this machine and X, Y, Z. And we've got to get leads in order to grow the business, of course. But we're like you said, we're so not built to operate in a way that we enjoy that mechanical follow this process, you know, let me do this thing, let me call these, let me get rejected. We're not built that way. What we are built for is relationship. We're built for story, you know, to hear and listen to story. I think we're all built to tell story. Like you said, we maybe just don't have the confidence for some reason that our story is worth telling, but everyone does have a story worth telling. We're all built to help people and to serve. I think we all want more community, not less community. And it's like, so what you're talking about here is exactly the way that we as humans are hardwired. And you're actually just playing toward, this is the way that we're hardwired. For some reason, we got away from that. And we think we've got to do all this transactional weird stuff that sometimes can be a little bit fake and sometimes can be way too regimented and process oriented. Instead, we're going, yes, over the long term, I really believe this can help the business. I'm in it for the long term. I want to build momentum. But I'm going to go in here and make an impact. I'm going to do something that's natural to me, that's natural to human beings, not that's against our nature. And out of that, you become like the go-to person, you know, just like the dude down in Temecula that you mentioned. He's making a difference, going doing what's natural, and then people notice that. And dude, I'm sure you listened to this episode of, I think it was I Love Marketing, where Joe my brain is like blanking. Joe and Dean, they talked about the mouse and the cheese. Have you listened mm-hmm. to that episode?
I have, yeah.
Dude, so that's kind of what we're talking about here is if you guys have not listened to the episode, if you want to become a better marketer, go listen to the I Love Marketing podcast. It's about the mouse and the cheese. And what they were talking about is a lot of people's marketing is kind of marketing. I'm going to kind of butcher it here, but their marketing is almost like the cat. You know, where the mouse is running around, you know, it's looking around for the cheese, looking around for what it wants. It gets going for something, but then it sees a cat and it freaks out and it goes the other way. And that's what oftentimes our marketing is. Like Ryan said, it turns you off. It's coming at you with a pitch when maybe I don't want to be pitched or I'm not ready for the pitch. Instead, you want to deliver them the cheese. You know, what is it that they're actually looking for? And that to me is exactly what this is, man, is you're completely eliminating the cat in the whole situation.
I'll give you like a huge turning point for me. It was like 2013, and it was when Dane and Andy, another friends of ours, mm-hmm. had launched the foundation. And I remember watching the four videos that they did to launch. And right after that launch, I called up Andy and I was like, man, I got to know. Like, you have two different options here. You can get the product mm-hmm. without the community for $300 a month, or you can get the same product with the community for $800 a month. Mm-hmm. I go, how many people took with the community? He said 80%.
Oh, wow.
Keep in mind, it's the same damn product. Mm-hmm. The difference is you get the community, meaning access to the other people that are going through the course at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh my God, if that doesn't convey to people the importance of belonging and how much they want it, I don't know what does. Mm-hmm. And that really was the first time that I saw the difference between copywriting, which is meant to sell, versus story, which is meant to inspire, mm-hmm. uplift, tell people and convey to people that they can belong to something bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. And so really from that point forward, I kind of ditched, even though that my identity was a copywriter, I'm not a copywriter anymore. Like, I'm not very good at it. I'm far better at telling a story and enunciating my ideology. And mm-hmm. this goes back to like Simon Sinek, people buy what you believe. If you just get really good at telling people what you believe and why you believe it, they will naturally say like, I like the way this guy thinks. And I will tell you, there's nothing more powerful in marketing, business building, relationships than having that affinity of the mind. Mm-hmm. Because now you're along the same wavelengths. Dude, but that was huge for me. And this is what we're seeing in the local communities. Mm-hmm. I fly into town and like I've never met any of these people. Next thing you know, I'm hugging, I'm congratulating them. They're doing the same for me. And every one of those people within these impact clubs, they're responsible for this community. Mm-hmm. Because like we just, you know, put the flame out there, but they fanned it with oxygen.
That's so cool, man. That's so cool. Dude, let me kind of touch on your business here. We've got maybe another 10 minutes here, but so in the shift that you've made from the way that you were growing your business previously to now, in just knowing you over the years, dude, I can see and I can tell the passion that you've got. And I think one way to tell if someone kind of has figured out that purpose, at least for that phase of their life, is they start to work in everything that they do works into this one thing. You know, with me, I love amplifying leaders, man. It's like, I feel that's part of my mission. Very similar to what I think you're doing with Impact Club. And I'm going, you know, like everything that I do, this podcast, that's why I do this. So people can come on here and amplify what they're doing in their business and their purpose. And that's why we do the loft here. And that's why, you know, that's why I want to build our team and hire awesome people. You know, we're scaling up our team right now. And dude, what has this made a difference, or how has this made a difference in your life as far as just your enjoyment in what you do, in your fire, you know, in your gut on why you're getting up in the morning to do what you're doing? And has it rubbed off to people directly around you, your family, your friends, stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Impact Club, I've always thought and wanted to get outside of real estate, because mm-hmm. the real estate industry as a whole, like the quote unquote real estate agent, I hate those people. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they're bad people. Yeah. It's just that they are so easily influenced to do all of these things that violate the core of their character. They're mm-hmm. not hardwired to do, and yet they continue to do them, and they feel guilt because they can't bring themselves to like go a different way. Mm-hmm. Now, my podcast, you know, fights the Kool-Aid and opens eyes, and that's my main objective. And from that, I extract the entrepreneurs mm-hmm. from the real estate industry, and that's great. But these people truly are more entrepreneurial than they are real estate yep. related. And so Impact Club has given me an outlet to a more mainstream audience. And ultimately, it's the vehicle that I've created to bring story to the masses, opposed to just the real estate industry. Mm-hmm. And you can't see it, and it's in beta. But on the back end of Impact Club is infrastructure. And I have about $150,000 invested in now. Mm-hmm. It just sucks cash at the moment, which is fine. People ultimately, they always want to know, well, who's funding Impact Club? I go, me and some of my co-founders in the local markets, but ultimately me. And they go, well, why don't you just donate that money to charity? I go, think about this. I could take my $150,000, I could donate it to a local charity, but it would be gone.
Yep.
Right? What if I build a platform and an infrastructure that will allow us to turn every dollar into $4 perpetually? Mm-hmm. Isn't that a lot better investment? I mean, in the first 90 days, we've already secured donation commitments to local charities of over $180,000, and we haven't even launched. We've only mm-hmm. launched in three local markets. In 2017, 2018, we're hoping to launch in 100 plus, US, Canada, even New Zealand. Yeah. And so we're going to be donating millions and millions and millions of dollars annually that, again, going back to your point, to make the biggest impact, you need to figure out how to activate people. Mm-hmm. And now if you can turn everybody within an Impact Club into a storyteller, I guarantee we will be the strongest community in every community. Mm-hmm. Because the people with the voice and who can craft a message, there's no competing with them. And so now we just become a massive megaphone mm-hmm. Across the U.S. in every little local town.
And like you're saying, those leaders of those local income impact club chapters or whatever you guys are calling the specific units, man, they're going to be the people who are the only logical choice to work with when it comes to, let's say, if they are a real estate agent, they're going to go, shoot, I know XYZ person's an agent and that dude's amazing. You know, he's serving our community in so many ways. There's no way they're going to work with someone else unless it's like their dad is a real estate agent and they can't not work with their dad or something. And that's kind of taking it full circle there is, you know, how do you build massive impact into your business? So it's something you love to do. You're fired up about doing it. And it's not just this everyday, just churn and like, I got to get more leads, sell more houses. And there, it feels like there's no real reason why you're doing it. And then second is, of course, you do have to grow your business. So this is just a really insanely great way, like you said, to separate yourself from everyone else who's just using the techniques that everyone else is using, and cutting through all that clutter. And you're going, I'm telling this story, I'm weaving this story to where I am the person in this market who is going to so stand out there for making a difference that inherently people want to then come to me and work with me. And you won't even have to ask them. Like, that's the thing. You're not having to send out postcards to those 150 people. Like, they just automatically now know you. They're a part of the community. Then I'm sure you guys have some sort of mechanism to keep that communication going, as in maybe the sitcom based newsletter to those people or however it works. But I'm sure that the storyline continues from there, and just great story, great communication happens, great community.
Yeah, at the foundation, there is a quote unquote media company. Mm-hmm. Like any great business, there's multiple arms and divisions, and Impact Club, no doubt, is the legacy builder. And mm-hmm. It creates an entire community around these people who get involved. They take t-shirt, pictures and posties and selfies, mm-hmm. and it truly becomes their identity because it's who they've always wanted to be themselves. Mm-hmm. And so again, I like the way this guy thinks. But then you still have your sitcom-based newsletter, so you weave in what happened with Impact Club, going back out to your audience. Further, we have a podcast concept that I created with back-end infrastructure and monetization paths. And so like Eric Verde, who's over in Frederick, Maryland, he's done 90-plus episodes of his podcast in his local market. He publishes a magazine every single month. He spotlights and recognizes those people in that publication, and now he gives them copies. They mail out to their database. That symbol of being a published, columnist because he's in the magazine now builds up their credibility and authority. And so they become the centralized point in every community to be able to, like you, amplify leaders. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to be, as a media company that ultimately has a voice, and we can speak on our behalf, but we can also speak on the behalf of others. Mm-hmm. That gives you immense power.
So we're gonna kind of tie this in a bow here, and I wanna kind of congeal this in the minds of people listening, because a lot of people are probably looking at this going, this all sounds so amazing, and then they kind of like have it setting in going, man, it seems like work. But here, let me inject this into your guys' brains here. First of all, can you guys imagine trying to compete against someone in your market that's doing this? It's going to be crazy, crazy hard. And it's not like there's only one person who can do it per market. It's that multiple people can be making amazing impacts, because not everyone can have 100% of the house market. And even in a town like Roseburg with 30,000 people, there's no one's going to have 100% of the market at all, ever. So can you imagine competing against someone who's doing this, building great legacy, building great value for the community, bringing community together, helping without asking for anything in return and directly, but it ends up building your brand and ends up building your business in a big way over the long term. Second thing is wouldn't it be like amazing if everyone could then start to use what comes to us naturally, story, building connection. Maybe rather than having to make those cold calls, 40 cold calls today, go out there and build great connections with 5 people. That could even be just like something to start. And then you could end up building your own Impact Club chapter with Ryan or something like that. The third thing is, guys, we've got to have a long-term mindset here. A lot of people are way too short-term minded, like we mentioned before. And that's one thing I really committed to when starting Carrot, as I said, I'm not going to build this business unless it matches these 5 non-negotiables. And not one of them was I had to make money right now. It was, I want to build something that matters. I want to build something that's fun, something that doesn't have the boom and bust business model. Which if a marketing method stops working in 2 years, then you got a boom and bust business model. If you're building this amazing momentum force using impact marketing, using the types of things that Ryan's been talking about here, that's not going to boom and bust. As long as you keep consistent with it and keep building relationship and story, it amplifies, it gets bigger, it gains momentum. And you'll be looking back in a year and 2 years and 3 years going, man, I'm so glad I did that because now I have this massive advantage in my market that 99% of all the other agents or insurance brokers or whatever business you're in are not going to want to put in the work to do. And my guess is it's probably not as much work as people are making it either. You know, it's some strategy for sure. Commitment, long-term thinking. Ryan, dude, where can people head over to learn more about you, listen to your podcast? And if some people, if the Impact Club stuff just like resonated with someone, how can people join up with you to start an Impact Club chapter in their market?
Yeah. So if they want a copy of my book, it's called Defeat Mega Agents. They can go to just defeatmegaagents.com, defeatmegaagents.com. Probably the best place to start, it's free, is the podcast. And you can really understand the power of ideology. And the first, you know, 10, and this is going back to starting, and it was painful and it was scared the shit out of me. You turn on this microphone, you get behind it, especially when you're doing not an interview-based show, but like you have to create 30, 50 minutes of content and it's weekly. It was terrifying and it was so self-conscious. In those first 10 episodes, I think I got to maybe 19 and I finally figured out like maybe I broke through a little bit of barrier. I finally started to find my own voice, and then like maybe 32 and then like 45. And then, you know, from there on, I felt pretty comfortable. But it is, it's a long-term growth thing. But if they can go to the podcast, amspodcast.com, amspodcast.com. Like I said, the book, defeatmegaagents.com. Right now, Impact Club is in beta. There's really no way to get involved. Mm-hmm. And further, Impact Club is my baby. And so I will not start a local chapter with anybody who I have not worked with, I do not know or trust their character.
Perfect.
If it's available in the future, I will certainly let Trevor know, and Trevor can pass it along.
I love it. Well, Ryan, man, I appreciate the time, dude. Like I said, you and I need to connect and grab a beer and just hang out a little bit, because I know it's been way too long. Look, we're chatting before we turn the podcast on. And dude, I'm so looking forward to seeing what happens with the Impact Club, and not to overuse this, but to see what impact you guys make. Because that just fires me up when I can see entrepreneurs really truly building a real mission and real purpose into their business. And not because they think it's just going to increase their business, but because they know that they care, that it truly hits them at their core, that they think, this is why I'm here. But it ends up affecting your business, man. So congrats.
I'll leave it on one final note. Mm-hmm. I think everybody, they start off hearing a story and they become inspired. Mm-hmm. But then there are these three levels of a storyteller, which is your ability to connect, your ability to inspire others. And then once you've truly mastered story, you have the ability to create. Mm-hmm. And so if you really think about a lot of great businesses, even if it's Tom's Shoes is just like a shoe. Mm-hmm. Nobody gives a shit about the shoe. It's the story that is the embodiment of the shoe that comes from, you know, Blake Mycoskie's trip to Argentina, seeing these little, you know, children. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, coming back using that story to propel the company. Mm-hmm. But it's the story that created the company, not the other way around. And so really focus on story.
Dude, that's my, huge.
Heart and soul.
That's huge, man. Ryan, thanks, buddy. Have an awesome rest of the week. And guys and gals, thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast of the Carrot Cast. Check out the other episodes and make sure you check out Ryan's website. It's multiple websites. It's podcasts at amspodcast.com, and get his book. If you guys really want to dive in and have a massive mindset shift on the way to truly connect and truly crack through that clutter, grab his book. It's going to be in the show notes. Just go to carrotcast.com and we'll talk to you soon. Ryan, thanks, buddy. I think this quote is an amazing summation of this podcast right here from Billy Cox. And honestly, I have no clue who Billy Cox is. I just found this online, but it's a good quote. It says, "You can't build a long-term future on short-term thinking." Okay. And most of what we talked about in this episode of the Carrot Cast with Ryan Fletcher is just that. Nothing on this podcast that we talked about is a technique that you can go, or a tactic that you can go and launch somewhere right now and then massively have it change your business today with just one little bit of effort. Okay. So if you are looking for those quick hits, we have other episodes of the podcast where you can start to stack on those short-term marketing channels, right? But if you're only focusing on the short-term marketing stuff, if you're only focusing on how do I bring in those leads or get that business now, what you're going to have is you're going to have in a year or 6 months or 2 years or 3 years, you're going to be looking back going, you know what? I am no better off now than I was a couple of years ago, or maybe you're even worse off because the tactics stopped working and you're going to go, man, I so wish that I would have really focused on building the foundation for an amazing long-term business. I've got some examples here. We have some of our best customers historically here at Carrot that I love them to death, and they applied the tactics, they applied the techniques. They got great results over a period of a couple of years. And then the market shifted and they didn't change. The market shifted. They didn't change their model. They didn't use that time to build an amazing long-term foundation and the things that we talked about here. So what happened? While they were doing 10, 20, 30 deals a year living the high life, they didn't change the market. They didn't build a long-term foundation that we talked about, and they went out of business. Okay. So if that's what you're going to be focusing on, just the tactics and how to get the leads today, not building this foundation, this credibility foundation, building community that's not going to go away on a blink of an eye if a tactic stops working, then you need to do that today. In this podcast, I hope will be the nexus for you going out and doing that. So go grab Ryan's book, first of all, Defeat Mega Agents. Just go on Amazon and look it up, Ryan Fletcher, Defeat Mega Agents. And if you want to go in there and see how you can cut through that clutter and not do the types of things that most real estate agents or investors are doing to win, this is going to help you do that. Defeat Mega Agents. Next thing, listen to Ryan's podcast if you resonated with anything he said today, okay? Really, really dive in and listen to that. Go to amspodcast.com or look Ryan Fletcher up online, Agent Marketing Syndicate, in your favorite podcast catcher or whatever the heck it is, iTunes, all right? But Ryan's got an amazing style. I love it. It's not going to resonate with everyone, which that is one of the reasons he's so darn successful. He knows his prospect. He knows exactly what he believes in, and he's going to go out there and make the biggest, most massive impact that he can make in this world, doing it the way that he loves to do it. So go find your version of that and make sure you build a long-term foundation, y'all. Okay. Cause that's what this is about. Going back to this quote, we're going to finish with this. You can't build a long-term future on short-term thinking. Until next time.